should have started it before I gave the prayer, but it's okay. Almighty Yahweh has commanded us to come together on this day. If you take your scriptures in hand, turn with me to Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus chapter 23, and we'll look at verses 1 to 8. And Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, the feast of Yahweh, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations. Even these are my set feasts. 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no manner of work. It is a Sabbath to Yahweh in all your dwellings." And we know that the Sabbath is a sign between us and Almighty Yahweh. But these are the holy convocations. The first one is the weekly Sabbath. And in verse 4 it says, "These are the set feasts of Yahweh, even the holy convocations, which you shall proclaim in their appointed season. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at evening, is Yahweh's Passover." That we did. We kept the Passover as commanded in the Word. It says, "On the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread to Yahweh. 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. In the first day you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work." So today is a high holy day. We don't do any work today. "But you shall offer an offering made by fire to Yahweh 7 days. In the seventh day is a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work." Okay? Now we're going to go over to Numbers 28. Numbers 28, verse 16 and 19. "And in the first month, on the 14th day of the month, is Yahweh's Passover. And on the 15th day of this month shall be a feast. 7 days shall unleavened bread be eaten. And the first day shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work. But you shall offer an offering made by fire, a burnt offering unto Yahweh, 2 young bullocks and 1 ram and 7 he-lambs a year old. They shall be to you without blemish." There are more to the offerings there, but we know that our offering is Yahshua the Messiah. He is our unleavened bread. Yahshua the Messiah is different than any other that has come before. Deuteronomy chapter 16. In Deuteronomy 16, we're looking at verses 1 to 8. Deuteronomy 16, 1 to 8. "Observe the months of Abib, and keep the Passover to Yahweh your Elohim. For in the month of Abib, Yahweh your Elohim brought you forth out of Egypt by night. And you shall sacrifice the Passover to Yahweh your Elohim of the flock and the herd, in the place which Yahweh shall choose to cause his name to dwell there. You shall eat no leavened bread with it. 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread with it, even the bread of affliction, for you came forth out of the land of Egypt in haste, that you may remember the day when you came forth out of the land of Egypt, all the days of your life. And there shall no leaven be seen with you in all your borders 7 days, neither shall any of the flesh which you shall sacrifice the first day at evening remain all night until the morning. You may not sacrifice the Passover within any of your gates, which Yahweh your Elohim gives you. But at the place which Yahweh your Elohim shall choose to cause his name to dwell there, there you shall sacrifice the Passover at evening at the going down of the sun. That's the bow of the sun when it goes down. At evening, at that season, you came forth out of Egypt. And you shall roast and eat it in the place which Yahweh your Elohim shall choose. And you shall turn in the morning and go to your tents. 6 days shall you eat unleavened bread, and on the seventh day there shall be a solemn assembly to Yahweh, your Elohim. You shall do no work in it. So Yahweh has directed us and given us He's given us direction. When you're given direction, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to follow it. If your parents tell you, I need you to do thus and so, this and that, as children, we're supposed to do it. And if we're the children of Elohim, if we're the children of Yahweh, we have to be obedient to his word. He tells us here what he wants us to do. As we are directed and we understand that Yahshua is our Passover lamb, he is our unleavened bread. See, the bread of the Pharisees, the bread of the religious leaders is corrupt. They're teaching people things that are not true. They're teaching lies. And Satan has control over, let's say, like the media. He has control over these religious leaders because they get paid, you understand, to teach these things. You know, we talked to some pastors in the past who knew the truth, and we asked them, why don't you teach the name of Yahweh? Oh, then I wouldn't get paid. I wouldn't have a congregation. I have to teach in the J name. I have to teach in that name because this is where my sustenance comes from. See, if we trust in Yahweh, if we're the children of Yahweh, we're going to inherit the blessing from Yahweh. And see, if we want to inherit that blessing, and this message is entitled, Inherit a Blessing. If we want to inherit a blessing. And for us to do that, we have to be willing to follow the commandments that Almighty Yahweh has given us. When you inherit after someone dies. They leave you something. Yahshua dies so that you would inherit a blessing. You understand? Yahshua died so that we would inherit a blessing. Are you unleavened like our Savior Yahshua, who was without sin? He is our example. Or are you leavened like the Pharisees and the Sadducees? We're going to go over to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. We'll start there in verse 5. And the disciples came to the other side and forgot to take bread. And Yahshua to them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Now, why do you think he would say that to his disciples? See, because Yahshua was unleavened. If he's unleavened and his opponents, his enemy, the ones who are opposing him, are leavened. See, Yahshua was teaching the truth. They taught the Torah. See, but they had started to substitute. They put this fence around the law called the Talmud, and they placed that above the Torah. And Yahshua saw that. He tried to break that down and show them the error of their ways. In verse 7, after he said, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees, they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we took no bread. And Yahshua, perceiving it, said, O you of little faith, why reason you among yourselves because you have no bread? See, when you introduce yeast to the dough, it corrupts it. It gets all these bubbles and air pockets in it. But the unleavened bread is tight. It's sweet bread. See? The leavened bread is a little bitter. It's a little bitter when you think about it. I'm sure they add a lot of sugar or honey to it to try to sweeten it up. But so you don't have to do that with unleavened bread. Do you not yet perceive, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up, neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets you took up. How is it that you do not perceive that I spoke not to you concerning bread, but beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Then understood they that he bid them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And see, this is something we need to be concerned about, because there are a lot of people out here teaching. There are a lot of people out here that think they have an anointing that are teaching people error. See, they're leavened. They're teaching things that are corrupt. Now, we have the living El, the mighty one of Israel. Now, Israel had the living Elohim. They had the mighty one. Yet, the leadership of Israel was leavened. He's talking about them being leavened. 1 Peter chapter 3. First Peter chapter 3, and we'll start in verse 8. It says, finally, be you all like-minded, compassionate, loving as brethren, tender-hearted, humble-minded, not rendering evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but contrariwise, blessing. For to this were you called, that you should inherit a blessing. Now, think about what this is saying. When you think about what Peter is saying here, he says that we should be like-minded, compassionate, loving as brethren. When you think back to what you've learned on the Pharisees and the Sadducees, were they loving? Did they show compassion to the people? When Yahshua came into the Pharisee's house to sit at meat, the Pharisee complained about the woman that was cleansing his feet. Now see, when we did the foot washing, we are totally in a different element, because today we're walking on asphalt roads with sidewalks, concrete sidewalks. We have shoes on. They wore sandals. Their feet were walking on roads that were dusty. They got dust on their feet. So when they came to someone's house, it was customary to wash their feet as well as the hands. And this is why the ritual that they have in the Talmud, they washing their hands up to the elbows and saying the ritual prayer. And Yahshua was condemned because they asked him, why is it that your disciples don't wash their hands like we do? In other words, they're not doing the ritual. But what I'm saying is that when he came to this Pharisee's house, the Pharisee didn't offer to wash his feet. Yet the woman with her tears washed his feet. She showed compassion for Yahshua because he was about to die for the sins of man. Yet the Pharisee didn't see it. He didn't offer to wash his feet. he wanted him to come to his house so he can eat to say that I had the Messiah at my house for dinner. See? Think about the attitude. Where was the compassion in his heart? He said, Yahshua showed the difference when he gave him the little parable about the two debtors. The one had a great debt, and he said, which of the two, you know, would be and feel like they're forgiven the most? He said, the one who was forgiven the most. And he said, you've answered correct. This woman, who is a sinner, I mean, you pegged that when you said, you know, if this man knew what kind of woman was touching him, you know, he knew. But see, Yahshua can cleanse the sinner. He can cleanse the unclean. See, that's what the power he has. He can change the sinner. And this is what we have to do. We have to change people with our lives, brethren. We have to be like Yahshua, who is unleavened, so that we can inherit a blessing. It's easy to look upon other people and criticize. You know, it's so hard for us to have that compassion that we should have for one another. Whereas though Yahshua showed us how we're supposed to do it. He showed us in his word that we have to be unleavened. And if we're unleavened, we can inherit this blessing. He said, not rendering tender-hearted, humble-minded, not rendering evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but contrariwise a blessing. See, it's easy to say, oh, this person took advantage of me. He got over on me. I'm going to get him back. We read it last night. He says, you know, take the wrong. Don't be worried about it. Yahshua is the one that has brought us to that point so that we can inherit that blessing. Yahweh says, vengeance is mine. I will repay. It's not up to us to seek vengeance. Verse 10. He that would love life and see good many days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking guile. Speak no guile. That his lips speak no guile. We have to be different, brethren. And let him turn away, teshuva, from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of Yahweh are upon the righteous. He's looking at us every day, and his ears to their supplication. His ears are open to our prayers. He's not listening and hearing the prayers of sinners. They don't go beyond the ceiling, unless you're a repentant sinner. That's the difference. You have to be sorry for your sins. That's a repentant sinner. It says, but the face of Yahweh is upon them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if you be zealous of that which is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And fear not their fear, neither be troubled. Like I said, when these things come upon the world in the end of the age, we're not going to be worried about it. We're not going to be fearful as the world is fearful. It talks about men holding their bellies like they're about to give birth because they're in so much pain. But it said, fear not their fear, neither be troubled, but sanctify in your hearts the Messiah as sovereign, ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason concerning the hope that is in you, yet with meekness and fear. We're talking about the fear of Yahweh, not the fear of man. Because Yahweh is the one that can cut you off from that second death. If you want to be in the kingdom, you want to be able to live forever. And for you to do that, you have to overcome this world, which means you're overcoming yourself, which means you're not going to be leavened. You're going to be unleavened. Verse 16, having a good conscience, that in what you are spoken against, that may they may be put to shame that revile your good manner of life in the Messiah. Because what they're going to be speaking about you is going to be a lie. It's going to be an error. See, because we're going to be walking, keeping the covenant. For it is better if the will of Yahweh should so will that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. Because the Messiah also suffered for sins once, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to Yahweh, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, that before that time were disobedient, when the long suffering of Yahweh waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which few, that is, eight souls, were saved through water. Noah preached 120 years, brethren, and only eight souls were saved. The people thought he was crazy. Oh, this man's talking about rain. They hadn't seen rain. They hadn't never heard of rain. You understand? There was a mist that came up from the ground like the dew, and that's what watered the ground. They had never seen rain, so they didn't believe Noah. He preached repentance for 120 years, and the people did not repent. They thought he was a madman. Says, in which a few, that is eight souls, were saved through water, which also after true likeness does now save you, even baptism. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the interrogation of a good conscience toward Yahweh through the resurrection of Yahshua the Messiah, who is on the right hand of Yahweh, having gone into heaven, angels and authorities and powers being made subject to him. First Corinthians chapter 5. I'm going to start in verse 1. First Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. It is actually reported that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as it is not even among the Gentiles, that one of you has his father's wife. And you are puffed up, you are leavened, and did not rather mourn that he that done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I truly, being absent in body but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present, him that has so performed this thing in the name of our sovereign Yahshua, you being gathered together in my spirit with the power of our sovereign Yahshua to deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the sovereign Yahshua. Your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? It doesn't take a whole lot of leaven to pump up the dough. It just takes a little bit. It just takes a little corruption to corrupt a good person. Evil companionship corrupts good morals. Like I said, One rotten apple can turn the whole barrel rotten. You think about the influence around you, the people you hang out with, the attitude that they have. It only takes one person to cause a whole group to go bad. But you know what? Yahshua is unleavened. And we have to be unleavened as well, so that we can not only stand fast, but be able to uphold and do the will of Almighty Yahweh when the things get tough. And trust me, it's going to happen. It's going to get tough. He says, purge out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, even as you are unleavened, for our Passover also has been sacrificed, even the Messiah. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven. Do we want to get rid of that corruption? We want to get rid of all of that negative that was infecting us prior to the feast. We want to get rid of it. Neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. And that's what we want to do. That unleavened bread of sincerity and truth, which is Yahshua the Messiah. When you think about it. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. This message is entitled, Inherit a Blessing. Knocked off the video conference. I'm trying to bring it back up as I continue. But in Romans chapter 1, it says, Paul, a servant of Yahshua the Messiah, called to be an apostle, separated to the good tidings of Yahweh, which he promised before his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his son who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh. So Yahshua, and I was able to get the video conference back up, but Yahshua was born of the seed of David. He was prophesied. We read some of that last night in Psalm 22 of how David, who was a prophet as well as a king, wrote this and how it speaks of the things that the Messiah would suffer and that he had to go through, not only of the Romans, the Gentiles, it talks about dogs there, as well as the Jews, the lions. These prophecies are there. Now, do you think the Hebrew people, the Jewish people, can see them? They're there. Do you think they can put two and two together? See, if you've been programmed to believe certain things, and I say this all the time, you take a child who's growing up and you tell them the sky is purple. And we know it's not purple. And until they learn that it's actually blue, they might believe that. But then they realize they've been lied to. And that's what's happening here. You know, the Jews don't read Psalm 53. That's not a part of their parsha. Okay? When they do their parsha, they pick what they want the people to read. The rabbis, you know, they program them. They tell them exactly what they want them to read. But if you read this yourself, and from Genesis all the way through to Malachi, you're reading the Old Testament yourself, you'll be able to see these prophecies. Okay? Now, when you see a Jew and he's talking about the Messiah hasn't come, you ask him when the Messiah comes, are you going to stick him? Are you going to take a spear and poke him in the side? Because in Zechariah 12:10, it says, they pierced me, whom they were looking at. Let's look at it. Zechariah. Verse 10. Zechariah 12:10. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication, and they shall look to me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. This is talking about Yahshua. You understand what I'm saying? It says that the Roman soldier, when they came to break his legs, they broke the leg of the one that was on that side and broke the leg on the other, but they didn't break his legs because he was already dead. But they pierced him. They stuck him with the spear. And it said, what came out? Blood and water. See, he was unleavened. Yahshua died on that tree for each and every one of our sins. It's nothing he did. He was cursed of Elohim for us to be hanged on a tree, because that's what it says in the Old Testament. Cursed is he who hangs on a tree. He took that curse upon himself for us, brethren. It wasn't anything that he did. So this is why we have to understand that Yahshua is unleavened. And if we follow him, we will inherit a blessing. We want to be a part of that kingdom. Back to Romans chapter 1. It says in verse 4, now 3, again, concerning his son, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh. And Isaiah 11:1 is a passage that refers to that. So you can write that in there in your notes as a reference. Okay? Who was declared to be the Son of Yahweh with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. He was resurrected from the dead, even Yahshua the Messiah, our Master, through whom we have received grace and apostleship, to obedience of faith among all the nations for his name's sake, among whom you are you also called to be Yahshua the Messiahs. Each one of us are called to be Yahshua's. To all that are in Rome, beloved of Yahweh, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from Yahweh our Father and the sovereign Yahshua the Messiah. First, I thank my Elohim through Yahshua the Messiah for you all, that your faith is proclaimed throughout the entire world. And I hope we can say the same about the brethren here, and the brethren in California, and the brethren in Louisiana, and the brethren in Virginia, and the brethren in Trinidad. You understand what I'm saying? As people step up and show their love for Almighty Yahweh, they do the works. They do the works. And then those works are spoken of. Because you'll see that spirit actively working in their lives. You see that they truly love Almighty Yahweh. And it's evident in everything that they do. Remember, I read before that we have to have that love toward one another. We have to be compassionate toward one another, so that we could inherit this blessing. In verse 9 it says, for Yahweh is my witness, whom I serve in my spirit in the good tidings of his son, how I unceasingly make mention of you always in my prayers, making requests, if by any means now at length I may be prospered by the will of Yahweh to come to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, to the end that you may be established, that is, that I with you may be comforted in you, each of us with the other's faith, by yours and mine. And I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come to you and was held back until now, that I might have some fruit in you also, even as in the rest of the Gentiles. So Paul wanted to go to Rome and didn't have that opportunity until now. But he was writing to them. But he said he was coming. And when he went to Rome, he didn't go the way he wanted to go. He went the way Yahweh wanted to send him, because he was in bonds. He was a prisoner. He wanted to go visit prior, when he can go and freely teach and preach and go around and be with the brethren. But Yahweh sent them, but he sent them the way Yahweh wanted to send them. See, sometimes we want to do what we feel we need to do, like Jonah. When Jonah was sent to Nineveh, Jonah decided he wasn't going to Nineveh. He decided he's going somewhere else. But Yahweh had other things in mind. So Jonah ended up in Nineveh, even though he didn't go the traditional way. He had to get swallowed up by a great dog gadol, great fish. Most of us say it's a whale, but, you know, whatever. He ended up getting spit out at Nineveh, okay? So he got there, but he was trying to go, you know, on his own. So Yahweh's the one that determines how we get to wherever he wants us to be. He says in verse 14, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and barbarians, both to the wise and the foolish. So as much as in me is, I am ready to bring good tidings to you also that are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the good tidings, for it is the power of Yahweh for salvation to everyone that believes. To everyone. And that's important, brethren, that we get to that point where we believe, because he upbraided the disciples because they didn't believe. They didn't believe the people that were telling them that they had seen the Savior after he had been resurrected. See? He had to come there in the midst of them while they were gathered together and let them know, hey, why didn't you believe? See, we have to believe what they wrote. You understand? We didn't see Yahshua. We weren't there. Could he manifest himself to us? Yes, he can. But what I'm trying to get you to understand is that we have to believe. He says, for salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So it's talking to the Jew, the one who believes in Yahweh, Yahudim, and the Gentile. For in this, a righteousness of Yahweh is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous shall live by faith. We have to have that faith to inherit a blessing, brethren. It's not just going to drop in our laps. We have to have the faith and believe Almighty Yahweh and believe that Yahshua is unleavened, because he is. But the leadership of this world, religiously, is leavened. Pope and the rest of the rest of them. You think about what they're teaching. What they're preaching. Are they telling you about Yahshua the Messiah, our Savior? Think about it. They have a form of righteousness. They go down the line. They talk about things that are here. Oh, yes, I received yesterday in my email from one of my friends who's a Christian about the death of all the apostles. And, it, you know, it's this Easter thing going around. And a lot of it's very accurate, talking about how they died and where they died, and the only one of the apostles that didn't die of his as a martyr was John, who they tried to boil in oil, but they couldn't kill him. So he was then, put out on the island of Patmos, and that's where he wrote the book of Revelation. See? But that was the one that was beloved of Yahweh. He was there in Yahshua's bosom. But all the rest of them died a martyr's death. Romans chapter 3, verse 21, it says, but now apart from the law, a righteousness of Yahweh has been manifested, I have right over top of that oral. See, because when you look at the word, you have to understand that when it talks about the law, it's not always talking about the Torah, because you have the Talmud. See, you have to deal with it. You have to know what law he's talking about. You have the sacrificial law, which Yahshua did replace. He has fulfilled all of the sacrifices of the Old Testament. There's no more need of a physical sacrifice. That's why the Jews in error, when they still try to circumcise somebody, or if they're already circumcised, try to get some blood out of them, because they're denying Yahshua the Messiah. You understand? They're denying Yahshua by not accepting his blood, which is the only blood that cleanses us from all sin. It says, but now apart from the law, a righteousness of Yahweh has been manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of Yahweh through faith in Yahshua the Messiah to all them that believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of Yahweh. And see, there's nobody that can say, I haven't sinned. Because if he says it, he's a liar. All of us have fallen short. All of us have sinned, brethren. The difference is that we have to be repentant sinners. We have to be sorry for our sins, and we have to confess it and fall on our knees before Yahshua. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in the Messiah Yahshua, whom Yahweh set forth to be a propitiation and atonement through faith in his blood to show his righteousness because of the passing over of the sins formerly committed in the forbearance of Yahweh. For the showing, I say, of his righteousness at this present season, that he might himself be just and the justifier of him that has faith in Yahshua. Where then is the glory in? It is excluded. See, we're not puffed up. We're unleavened. It's excluded. By manner of law? Of works? No. But by a law of faith. We reckon, therefore, that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Or is Yahweh the Elohim of the Jews only? Is he not the Elohim of the Gentiles also? Yes, of the Gentiles also. If so be that Yahweh is one. And we say the Shema twice a day, morning and evening. Yahweh is one, and he shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. We're not talking about physical circumcision here. We're talking about the Jews, and we're talking about the Gentiles. The circumcision is the Jews. The uncircumcision is the Gentiles. Okay? Do we then make the law of no effect? Through faith, by no means, we establish the law. The law is important in our lives, brethren. It brings us to Yahshua the Messiah. Romans chapter 6. Romans 6, we'll start in verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. We who died to sin, how shall we any longer live in it? Or are you ignorant that all we who were baptized into the Messiah Yahshua were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, through him, through baptism into death, that like as the Messiah was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we also might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was impaled with him, that the body of sin might be done away, that so we should no longer be in bondage to sin, for he that has died is justified from sin. But if we died with the Messiah, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that the Messiah, being raised from the dead, dies no more. Death has no more dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once. But the life that he lives to Yahweh. Also reckon yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to Yahweh in the Messiah Yahshua. And truly we are. If we follow, are we dead to sin, or is sin alive and well in our lives, brethren? If we're still sinning, if we're still practicing sin, we're going to be excluded. We're going to be cut off. We're going to be cut off. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. We only have a couple more scriptures. We'll be finished. And then you can eat. 1 John chapter 3. Verse 1. Page 956. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of Elohim. That right there is priceless. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of Elohim. And we are. For this cause the world knows us not, because it knew him not. They don't know Yahweh. Think about it. They don't know Yahweh. They worship Satan the devil. You think about it. The leadership, even of the Catholic Church, the hierarchy, they got the rest of the people down there, you know, thinking they're doing this thing. They're doing the Hail Marys and all this other, Our Fathers and whatever for their repentance. And, oh, they're going to go to purgatory. Are they doing this? They're doing that. Not here. Not in the Word. It's manufactured. Think about it. But the hierarchy, the ones that are up the top, they know. They know what they're doing. They know the truth. See, that's why they persecuted Yahshua and his people. He says, beloved, in verse 2, now we are children of Elohim, and it shall not be yet made manifest what we shall be. We know that if we shall be manifested, we shall be like him, for we shall see him even as he is. And everyone that has his hope set on him purifies himself, even as he is pure. Everyone that commits sin also transgresses the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. That's what sin is. It's not dancing. It's not playing cards. It's not drinking liquor. Okay? And there's a lot of groups out there that believe if they see you drink a beer, oh, you're sinning. I had a neighbor across the street from me tell me that once. He was a Seventh-day Adventist. Saw me drinking a beer on my porch. And, you know, I was a sinner because he saw me drinking a beer. I showed him in the Word where it says you can drink. It's okay. We're not supposed to get drunk. See, we can't go that far. And you know this, that he was manifested to take away sins, and in him is no sin. Whoever remains in him does not sin. For whoever sins has not seen him, neither knows him. Little children, let no man lead you astray. He that does righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. And he that does sin is of the devil. For the devil sins from the beginning. And this is what Yahshua brought forth and showed the leadership of Judaism. To this end was the Son of Yahweh manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever is begotten of Yahweh does not practice sin, because his seed remains in him, and he may not practice sin, because he is begotten of Yahweh. In this the children of Yahweh are manifested, and the children of the devil. Whoever does not righteousness is not of Yahweh, neither he that does not love his brother. That's very evident. Okay? For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain was of the evil one and killed his brother. And why did he kill him? Because his works were evil and his brothers were righteous. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. We'll start in verse 12. Romans 6:12, it says, "Do not allow sin to reign in your mortal body, that you should obey the lust of it. Neither present your members to sin as an instrument of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to Yahweh as alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to Yahweh. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the penalty of the law." You are not under the law, but under grace. Does that mean we're not keeping the law? Absolutely not. We keep the law. But we're not under the penalty of it, because we're not sinners. We're repentant sinners. "What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the penalty of the law or under law?" It says, "But under grace? By no means. Do you not know to whom you present yourselves as servants to obedience, his servants you are, whom you obey, whether of sin to death or obedience to righteousness? But thanks be to Elohim that whereas you were servants of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were delivered, and being made free from sin." See, he gave us freedom when he brought us out of Egypt. He gave us freedom from sin, from that bondage of sin. "You became servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. As you presented your members as servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now present your members as servants to righteousness unto sanctification." And sanctification is Yahweh setting you apart for a holy purpose. "For when you were servants of sin, you were free in regard of righteousness. What fruit did you have at that time in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and have become servants to Yahweh, you have your fruits to sanctification and the end, eternal life." And that's what we're seeking, brethren. We want to be different from the world. We want eternal life. "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of Yahweh is eternal life in the Messiah, Yahshua, our Master." Now, for our closing passage, turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to start in verse 1. "Now, I make known to you, brethren, the good tidings which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you also stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, except you believed in vain. For I delivered you first of all that which I also received, that the Messiah died for our sins according to the Scriptures." Now, the Scriptures he's talking about, because there was no New Testament, he's talking about Isaiah 53. Which the Jews don't read. It's not a part of their parshas. Like I said, they don't want people to know about Yahshua the Messiah. "And that he was buried. And that he has been raised." Some of the other scriptures I have there, Psalm 22, Zechariah 12:10. Jonah 1:17, Genesis 3:15, These are all scriptures that go back to the Messiah. Because remember, the scriptures are just the Old Testament when they talk about the scriptures. And that he was buried and that he had been raised on the third day according to the scriptures. And that was Jonah 1:17. And that he appeared to Cephas, or Peter, then to the 12. Then he appeared to about 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain until now, but some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to Jacob, Yaakov, then to all the apostles, and last of all, as to the untimely born child, he also appeared to me. And this is what Paul is trying to get us to understand. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the assembly of Yahweh. He persecuted the assembly. But by grace of Yahweh, I am what I am. But by the grace of Yahweh, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not found vain, but I lived more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of Yahweh. The grace of Yahweh, which was with me, whether then it is me or them, so we preach, and so you believe. Now, if the Messiah is preached that has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? And see, the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. The Pharisees did, but the Sadducees didn't. Yet they were among the Sanhedrin. This is some of the leaders of Judaism. But if there is no resurrection, neither has the Messiah been raised. And if the Messiah has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain. I don't believe it's in vain, brethren. Matter of fact, I know it's not in vain. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of Yahweh, because we witness of Yahweh that he raised up the Messiah, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, neither has the Messiah been raised. And if the Messiah has not been raised, your faith is vain, and you are yet in your sins. Then they also that have fallen asleep in the Messiah have perished. If we have only hoped in the Messiah in this life, we are of all men most pitiable. But now has the Messiah been raised from the dead, the first fruits of them that are asleep. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in the Messiah shall all be made alive, but each in his own order. The Messiah, the first fruits, then they that are the Messiahs that is coming. Then comes the end, when he shall deliver up the kingdom to Yahweh, even the Father, when he shall have abolished all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be abolished is death. For he put all things in subjection under his feet. But when he says all things are put in subjection, it is evident that he has accepted who did subject all things to him. And when all things have been subjected to him, then shall the Son himself also be subjected to him that did subject all things to him, that Yahweh may be all in all. Almighty Yahweh has blessed us with an unleavened Savior. He's given us the opportunity to inherit a blessing from Almighty Yahweh. Drop down to verse 50 as we end this message. Now, this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of Yahweh, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. See, unleavened is incorrupt. Leaven is corrupt. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We all shall not sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. And when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then the saying shall come to pass that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to Elohim, who gives us the victory through our sovereign Yahshua the Messiah, our unleavened Yahshua the Messiah. Therefore, brethren, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of Yahweh, knowing that your labor is not vain in Yahweh. Each of us want to inherit a blessing. And for us to inherit that blessing, we have to be unleavened bread, brethren. We have to be like Yahshua the Messiah. And not only do we be unleavened throughout this week, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, we have to have an unleavened mind as we go forth beyond, even when we go back to eating that corrupt bread that the yeast has been active in. You understand? We have a purpose, and that purpose is to share this message throughout the whole world so that people can be brought to Yahshua. We want to inherit a blessing as children of Yahweh, children of Elohim, so we can overcome this world, this life, and Satan the devil. So, brethren, at this time, open your hearts and receive Almighty Yahweh's blessing. At this time, I'd like to ask Brother David to come and close with a word of prayer.
Almighty Yahweh, as we come humbly but boldly before your throne, we see ourselves again facing ourselves in many short areas and many short things and many situations and conditions in which we find ourselves on the outside of you. We ask Almighty Yahweh that you would give us fear and reverence for you and for your sanctuary, Almighty Yahweh. Allow our lips not to speak guile and allow us to turn away from evil and do good. Allow us to seek peace and pursue it, Almighty Yahweh. Allow us to be righteous so that your ears are open to our supplications. Allow us the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth in all ways and all things. Most importantly, allow us to be repentant. Allow us to die with the Messiah and be dead to sin and be alive with Yahshua. We ask Almighty Yahweh that you would allow your grace to be upon us and with us in all ways and all things. We ask Almighty Yahweh that you would allow us to be steadfast and unmovable. We ask that you would seal this teaching in our hearts and our minds, our spirits and our souls, and allow us to bring forth fruit unto thy glory. In your son Yahshua's name we praise you and thank you. Hallelujah.
For our closing song, brethren, we're going to be singing
Conference muted.